Introduction. You might think of your brain as being fairly consistent. You generally have a consistent level of intelligence, your mood is usually pretty steady, and on the whole you don't tend to change all that much. Or so it seems. In reality though, your brain is constantly changing. Not only is it growing and adapting, but it will also change in terms of what it's capable of and how you feel. The chemical balance is likely to change a huge amount. In other words, our brain goes through a number of states, and depending on which brain state you are experiencing at any given time, you can expect very different results. Let's take a look at just a few mental states and how they have incredible impacts on the way you feel and perform. Flow state. A flow state is a much coveted state that is often described as being the state of ultimate peak human performance. It's a little more complex than that. But essentially, this is a state in which you are completely focused on a given task, normally because you perceive it as highly important. This actually suppresses activity in the frontal region of the brain, allowing you to act on near pure instinct and thereby giving you intense mental clarity and reactions. Fight or flight. Fight or flight is a stress state. In this state, the body is releasing adrenaline, dopamine, and other chemicals that ramp up the nervous system and increase strength while also suppressing immune function and digestion. Stress like this isn't a bad thing in the short term. Acute stress allows us to react to situations quickly when we need to. The problem comes when this state carries on and becomes chronic. Rest and digest. The opposite of fight or flight, this is when the body is able to relax and calm down. This is when we digest our food, when we sleep, and when we build tissue. We're also more creative in this state. Hysterical strength. Hysterical strength is a little like berserker mode. Under extreme duress, we produce so much adrenaline that we're able to call on incredible reserves of strength. This demonstrates just how much of an impact our mind can have on our body, just what is possible when you're in the right mindset. And there are many more. If you want to perform your best get into the right mindset. Chapter 1, Physiology and Your Mood. If you want to get the most out of yourself and your life, then it is crucial that you learn to control your mood. Your mood will affect your ability to focus, your enjoyment of any and all activities, and so much more. But of course, controlling your emotions is easier said than done. This is something we would all like to do, no doubt, but if it were that easy, then we would all be happy all the time. There is a secret to doing this though that many people miss. And while it may be impossible to guarantee that you'll ever have complete control over the way you feel, it can sure make a big difference and help to give you a lot more control. How your body affects your mood. The missing key that so many people overlook is physiology. In other words, your body and your physical state. What are our emotions for? They're to drive us toward desirable things and to keep us away from things that could potentially harm us. When we feel scared, this motivates us to seek a safer shelter. When we feel disgusted, this prevents us from wanting to eat gone-off food. At a deeper level though, being hungry also impacts on your emotions and motivates behavior. When you are hungry, you will usually have low blood sugar. This in turn releases cortisol, the stress hormone, along with ghrelin. This is why we get hangry. Conversely, when you eat, you produce serotonin, which puts you in a good mood. This then converts to melatonin and makes us sleepy. Being ill causes inflammation through pro-inflammatory cytokines, and these suppress activity in the brain, creating brain fog and depression. Feelings and emotions are different. You feel hungry, you feel tired, and you feel ill. But these create emotions such as stress, anger, and sadness. So, what are we getting at here? What is the practical takeaway from all this advice? The moral is that it isn't all about your thoughts and your lifestyle. If you're angry or if you're sad, then it may not be due to you having a bad day, you may just be hungry or ill. Then there's the fact that our hormones tend to change on a cycle. Keep all this in mind when you are trying to manage your mood and make sure that you set yourself up with the best possible chance of a happy, positive day. The mind needs growth. What makes you happy? What is your idea of a perfect evening? For many of us, the answer would be something akin to relaxing on the couch, watching a great TV show, and eating something delicious. Maybe you want to stay in with your other half, or maybe you'd like to program a game.
These things are comfortable, and they are refreshing. These things help you to feel calm and to rejuvenate from a tough week.
But you know what? Your brain doesn't like those things. In fact, these are about the worst things you can possibly do as far as your body is concerned.
The reason for that is simple: when you relax and when you chill, you don't challenge your brain.
The result is that it starts to atrophy, grow or shrink. The brain is able to adapt to whatever you throw at it due to a process called brain plasticity. Brain plasticity describes the ability of the brain to grow and change shape, to create new neurons and to become stronger.
Herein lies the principle of said specific adaptations to imposed demands.
If you practice languages, you get better at language.
If you practice balance, your brain gets better at that. But if you're not growing, then all that extra neural matter is just wasted energy.
The result?
Your brain starts to atrophy and starts to burn through that extra matter.
The result is that you deteriorate. Grow or shrink. Move forward or move backward. Being static isn't an option.
The brain loves growth.
When you learn a new language or skill, the brain will see this as positive stimulus. It sees this as a chance to get stronger and to ultimately improve your ability to survive.
Thus, it produces positive hormones and neurotransmitters like dopamine and brain-derived neurotrophic factor. These help you to learn, but they also prevent the atrophy we discussed. They protect the brain against degeneration, and they make you smarter.
So, while you might feel like the very best thing you can do for your brain is to relax and to sit down, actually the brain much prefers challenge and learning. Sure, have your evening off, but make sure your life isn't just a case of alternating between stress at work and doing nothing at home.
Keep learning, keep going to new places, and keep taking on new challenges.
Chapter 2: Change your mindset to help you accomplish any goal.
People have a range of different dreams and goals.
This is one of the best things about people, in fact.
We're all different and we all have different aspirations, different goals to share with one another and different things to talk about.
The unhappiest people? They're the ones with no goals. No direction. No motivation.
A goal gives you a vision, it gives you drive, and it makes every day seem like a positive step to an end destination that is truly important to you. But while goals are intrinsically rewarding, problems do arise when we don't know how to pursue them. Having a goal that seems completely out of grasp and making no progress whatsoever is disheartening. In this chapter, we'll look at some of the things you can do to help yourself reach your goals faster. Whether you want to write an amazing book, set up a business, or do anything else, these are two tips that will apply in every situation and that you might not have heard before.
Tip 1: You have to believe.
This might sound like cheesy bumper plate sticker advice, but it is very true. At the end of the day, you need to have absolute faith that the plan you have to get your book published or to become famous is actually going to work.
Why? Because otherwise you risk putting in all the time and effort for nothing. Think about it, have you ever struggled to stay motivated to get into work?
No. The reason for that is because you know that going to work means getting paid. This is 100% guaranteed. But you may have struggled to stick to a training program, and part of the reason for that is that you know it might not yield results.
So whatever plan you come up with, make sure you believe it.
Tip 2: You have to take it slowly. The other problem is wanting results right now and ending up burning yourself out too quickly.
Want to write the next best-selling novel? The way to do that is not in one or two sittings.
You need to take your time, to work steadily, and to be considered in the way you approach this goal. The best option is to plan to write one or two chapters every day.
Look up the word Kaizen for more on why this works so well. The constant fight or flight.
It is common knowledge that many people live their lives in a constant state of chronic stress. This is a serious problem because it triggers the release of negative hormones and neurotransmitters that play havoc with your health.
But it actually goes deeper than that.
Chronic stress means that you are constantly being pushed, and thus, rather than being able to stop and smell the roses, rather than being able to actually enjoy your life, you end up simply trying to survive it.
Not only that, but you remain constantly reactive,
constantly reacting to events and thereby unable to actually become proactive and to decide the course of your life and the direction you want to take.
The problem. We all have different stressors that do this to us. Some of us are struggling with debt. Some of us are overworked in the office. Some of us have problems in our relationships.
But no matter what the problem, they all affect the body in just the same way that being chased by a lion would. As far as the body is concerned, we are in danger and it needs to produce the right hormones to increase the heart rate, to contract the muscles and to prevent energy from being spent anywhere else, whether that's on digestion or the immune system. From a psychological perspective, this means that we are simply burned out and worn out. What many of us don't realize is that energy is a finite resource. Many of us think that time is a finite resource, but in fact, energy is much more limited. If you spend all day worrying about work and if you don't get home until late at night, then how are you going to choose the direction you want to go? How are you going to write that great novel, work out, find time to develop your career in directions that excite you? All you are doing is treading water and burning out all of your energy, your passion, and your vitality.
The answer.
So, what's the answer? Well, overly simple though it might sound, the answer is to make the choice to focus on things that really matter to you and to stop worrying about the things that don't. Learn to face your fears and to stop being driven by them. Learn to take the risk that's necessary if you want to try a new career or write a book.
Say enough and give yourself that break. Whatever it takes. Chapter 3, Achieving Success in Your Life by Changing Your Mindset.
When you have a fixed mindset, you inevitably stop yourself from getting what you want in life. Many of us listen to that voice in our heads that tell us that we can't do something, or that we don't have the skills to achieve something. This kind of thinking keeps us stuck and is known as a fixed mindset. If you want to achieve success, you have to change your thinking and learn how to develop a growth mindset.
Here are some simple ways you can change your mindset to increase your chances of finding success. Turn failures into successes.
Individuals that have fixed mindsets quickly give up after experiencing failure for the first time. Those who have found success and have learned to develop a growth mindset tend to look at their failures as an opportunity to learn from their mistakes and try again.
Start changing your mindset today by learning to turn your failures into successes. Change your limiting beliefs. Many of us hold limiting beliefs that are holding us back from success.
If you took a long look at your values and belief systems and compared them to what in them was keeping you back, you'd be able to start making adjustments. If you can change your beliefs to support your goals, you'll open yourself up to great things and start achieving your goals and getting what you want. Create small and manageable goals. Take a look at the goals that you've set for yourself and decide how you can best break them down into smaller, more manageable goals. Every day, take actionable steps to complete these smaller goals and start to chip away at them. Before you know it, you've made substantial progress toward achieving your larger goals.
There is a power to dividing things down into more manageable chunks and working toward them little by little. Find a mentor.
To determine how to get what you want, find a mentor who has already succeeded. Find a mentor who will be honest with you about your strengths and weaknesses, and who will be willing to let you shadow them. Working with a mentor will allow you to learn essential skills through observation.
You can get the things you want in life. You just have to utilize the right tools to achieve your goals. By implementing any of these techniques in your life, you are changing your mindset toward getting what you want. A positive mindset and change your life. You may not know this, but your life is a reflection of your attitude.
Without even noticing, it can be easy to become negative and cynical towards the world. With our continuous exposure to injustice and tragedy, we have begun to experience distress and heartache. This negative attitude that you've developed is preventing you from thoroughly enjoying your life and has a significant impact on your environment. To turn your gloomy outlook on life around, you need to develop positive habits and make adjustments to your mindset.
Here are some ways you can begin to shift your mindset and change your life.
Use positive words to describe your life. The words that you chose have a ton of power over your life. When you use negative words, like dull, chaotic, or mundane, to describe your life, that is how your mind will perceive your life, and you will start to feel the effects in your mind and body. When you begin to switch to using positive words to describe your life, you will begin to see your life in a more positive light and start to find more enjoyment.
Keep a gratitude journal. There are times when one single event can ruin your day.
Our mind tends to cling to the negative, overshadowing the positive aspects of our lives. When you become aware of this propensity for hanging on to the negative, you can begin to intentionally focus on the positive aspects of your life to offset this imbalance.
You can do this by keeping a gratitude journal.
Finding things to be grateful for can increase your happiness significantly while protecting you from stress, anxiety, negativity, and depression.
Reframe your challenges.
You have to get into the frame of mind that there are no dead ends, only redirections. There are very few things in life that we have complete control over, so we have to consciously work to avoid letting the uncontrollable occurrences affect our lives.
We have to come to an understanding that the only thing that we can control is our reaction and effort.
When you give your full effort, you will have no reason for regret.
Embrace the challenges that are before you and stop trying to resist an experience for personal growth.
Stop allowing your negative mindset from preventing you from enjoying your life to the fullest.
Begin cultivating a positive mindset and change your life for good. Chapter 4: Stop Negative Self-Talk in Its Tracks.
Everybody, whether they are successful or not, has an inner critic in their heads that judges them, doubts them, belittles them, and that is always telling them that they are not good enough. The difference between successful people and everyone else is they've learned to ignore this inner critic and eliminate negative self-talk.
They understand that everything that they say to themselves matters.
Unfortunately, your inner critic stops you from pursuing the life you truly want to live.
Here are some of the top ways to stop the negative self-talk in its tracks.
Recognize the critic.
You have to become aware of your inner critic if you want to be able to gain control over it. Much of our thinking happens automatically and so quickly that we barely notice it.
This means that you will have to make the conscious effort to slow down and pay attention to what you are thinking.
This will help you notice when the critic is present.
Separate yourself from the critic. Your inner critic thrives best when you mistake it for being part of your authentic self. To separate yourself from this critic, you need to give it a name.
You can give it any name you want, like the nag.
The important thing is that by separating it from your own identity, you are essentially freeing yourself from its influence.
Talk back to it. The only way to take away your inner critic's power is by talking back to it. You merely have to tell it that you don't want to hear what it is saying.
Speaking back to it begins to give you the sense that you have a choice in the matter.
When the critic starts to talk, just tell it to go away, and that you refuse to listen.
Replace the critic. The best way to defeat the critic once and for all is to have an even stronger ally on your side.
You need to work on growing an inner voice that acts like your best friend rather than your enemy.
To do this, you need to begin seeing all the good things about yourself. You have to acknowledge that you do have positive traits and that you can accomplish anything. To break the cycle of negative self-talk, you have to make a conscious effort to recognize your inner critic and change the way you interact with it.
By eliminating negative self-talk from your life, you will start to see a dramatic shift in your mindset and be able to find success in everything that you do.
Ways to say no to negativity.
When time is viewed as a non-renewable resource, it often becomes easier to understand the importance of managing it wisely.
As with any resource, there is a direct relationship between the supply of and the demand for that resource.
When there is an overabundance of time, it is more easily wasted.
Likewise, when there is a shortage of the resource, in this case, of time, it becomes necessary to more effectively manage even the smallest amount of it.
Beginning to effectively manage time often begins with a change in perspective regarding time.
Each day provides only a specific number of hours, minutes, and seconds in which to accomplish goals and complete tasks.
When working under a deadline, then, every minute or hour is considered a resource which one could feasibly use to the full extent, in order to meet a specific goal.
The resource is non-renewable.
Each moment or hour that is used up is a percentage of a resource which will not be replenished.
When there is a shortage of any resource, it becomes important to closely monitor its uses.
Consider the response to a shortage of water.
Certain activities are eliminated from use, such as watering plants, whenever there is a state of drought.
Limited activities make the most use of the resources available.
The individual undertaking a time management program then will need to learn to identify the ways in which even the smallest amount of time is wasted, as well as to carefully oversee their own limited supply of this valuable resource.
Chapter 5: Set Your Mindset for Success.
If you're struggling to find success and realize your dreams, the most likely reason is that you lack a mindset for success. If you want to achieve your goals, you must work on developing a mindset for success. A successful, or growth mindset, is what sets apart those who have success and those who don't.
You are the only person who can change your mindset to achieve success. Here are 4 tips to help you get started. Create successful habits.
It only takes 21 days to create a habit. You have to start by making small changes in your daily routine. Sit down and create a list of the things that you need to do to accomplish your goals. Every day, start taking small steps toward your goals.
The first step in setting your mindset for success is creating successful habits. Understand your why.
Changing your mindset takes work because the habits that we've formed aren't easy to break. Understanding your why is about starting fresh and deciding on a single dream or goal, that when you accomplish it, it will mean a transformational change in your life. It is essential to identify something that can make a significant impact in your life. Once you determine your why, write down why it really matters to you.
Create a vision for your life.
To develop a success mindset, you have to stop looking at your past. To see all the possibilities that lay before you, you have to start looking toward your future.
Think about all the possible ways you can live your life. Envision what your perfect life looks like.
Having this vision of your future life will help to keep you moving forward during difficult times.
Learn from your failures.
All successful people who have a growth mindset are comfortable with failure.
They've learned to keep going no matter what.
When they hit a wall, they don't make an excuse or give up because they realize that the only thing that is keeping them from reaching their goals is if they give up.
Unlike the majority of people, successful people have prepared themselves mentally for failure.
To do this, you have to permit yourself to fail.
Doing this will take the pressure off and keep you moving forward. Changing your mindset for success doesn't happen by accident. It is something that you chose.
These 4 tips will help you get started on setting your mindset for success.
Goal setting to set yourself up for success. If you want to find any success in your life, you need to set goals. Without having goals for yourself, you will lack focus and direction in your life.
Not only do goals allow you to take control of your life, but they also provide you with the benchmarks for determining your success.
Setting a goal is the process that begins with your careful consideration of what you want to achieve and ends with you putting in the hard work to achieve it. Here are some secrets of goal setting that will set you up for success. Set goals that motivate you.
If you have limited interest in the outcome of your goals, or they are irrelevant to the bigger picture, your motivation to work on achieving them will be low.
Set goals related to the high priorities in your life.
It requires a commitment to achieve your goals, so to ensure you achieve success, you need to set specific goals that motivate you.
Set SMART goals.
For your goals to be powerful, they need to be SMART. To increase your chances of success, your goals need to be
specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time-bound. Write down your goals.
When you physically write down your goal, it becomes real and tangible.
It eliminates any chance that you will forget about it.
Be sure to frame your goal statement positively to help increase the rate of retention. Post your goals someplace where you will see them every day as a constant reminder of what you want to achieve.
Make an action plan.
Often, we get so focused on the outcome of our goals that we forget to create a plan of action for accomplishing them. Take the time to write down the individual steps that you will need to take to achieve your goals. As you complete each level, cross it off so you can visually see the progress that you are making.
Stick with it.
Goal setting is an ongoing activity, not merely a means to an end. Keep yourself on track by creating reminders and schedule regular blocks of time to sit down and review your goals and progress.
You want to make sure that the relevance, necessity, and value remain high as you work toward accomplishing your goals.
Setting goals are more than merely saying you want something to happen. To find success, you need to clearly define exactly what you want and understand why you want it in the first place. Implement these steps in all your goal-setting endeavors and watch as you accomplish each one. Things you need for a successful mindset. The most significant difference between those who succeed and those that don't is their mindset. Your mindset is a small thing that makes a huge difference in whether you achieve success and is the primary catalyst that drives your feelings of confidence, self-worth, and competence. If you want to become successful, then you are going to have to develop the right kind of mindset. Here are some things to help you develop a successful mindset. Positive self-talk. You may be thinking that the conversations that you have with other people are what matters most when trying to achieve success. However, it is the conversations that you have with yourself that matter most. It is vital that you watch what you say to yourself. Talk to yourself in a way that plants positivity, rather than criticism and doubt. Your intentions. Your intentions are going to set the tone for how you ultimately navigate both professional and personal success. If you haven't set yours high enough to challenge the status quo, then you need to think bigger and push yourself farther past your comfort zone. Learn to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. Grit. When it comes to success, talent counts, but effort counts twice, according to Angela Duckworth, the foremost authority on grit. Two things that are vital to your long-term success are both your passion and your perseverance. Grit is what helps push us past the strong desire to give up, especially when we experience setbacks and failures. Grit is something that you will need to learn about and develop over time. Strategy. You will find little success if you don't do more than merely declare your goals. The only way for you to move forward is by developing structure. Start by dividing your larger goals into smaller, more manageable chunks. Then create a strategic plan to help assure you achieve success. Execution. Developing your strategy is one thing, but executing the plan is something entirely different. You need to make the decision that you will always be working toward your goal by tackling bite-sized pieces of the goal until you found success. This means that whether you are making a phone call, sending an email, or physically maneuvering to achieve the next steps, you are always doing something to reach your goal. Execution helps you begin to trust yourself, so you can move one step closer to your goals. Changing your mindset so you can achieve success is not easy. It takes time and hard work. Follow these strategies, and before you know it, you'll be accomplishing your goals and finding success. Chapter 6, Belief is Your Key to Success. If you're reading this, you're looking for a way out of the mediocrity or flat-out failure you are experiencing in your life. It's okay to admit it. There's no shame in trying to find a solution. What is shameful is to hide the problem and pretend that everything is okay. Now we're on the same page. I need you to pay attention to the chair you are sitting on as you read this chapter. It seems sturdy. Obviously, it's able to hold your weight. It's doing its job just fine, but did you know right before you sat down to read this chapter, you had to make a quick snap decision? In fact, it went by so quickly that you probably were not even aware of it. Still, you need to make that decision. What am I talking about? I'm talking about your assessment of the fitness of the chair. That's a big deal because if you sat on the chair without thinking and without even considering whether it's sturdy enough to hold your weight or whether it's positioned right, you probably will fall flat on your butt. You might even hurt yourself. Belief is the reason you quickly went through the emotion of sitting before you can read this chapter. You believe the chair would hold your weight. You believe it's in good enough shape to take care of you and prevent harm from happening to you. I'll walk you through this exercise to bring home the point that belief is crucial to your daily existence. You do it all the time. You operate out of belief. You live in belief. Belief is the glue that ties your life together. It informs your decisions that make your life possible. If you can believe this chair can hold you up, why do you continue to believe in things that hold you down? If you're struggling in any shape or form, it's because you believed in the wrong things. I know it hurts, I know it stinks. Nobody wants to hear this because it leads to the ultimate conclusion: we all need to wake up. We are the authors of our life. We make that call. We make that decision, and nothing stings more than coming face to face with the reality you made bad choices. If you're struggling in your relationships, at your job, with your health, how much you weigh, and what you look like, it's because you made the wrong call.
Nobody likes to be wrong. But the good news is that you don't have to rely on your feelings. You don't have to remain trapped, or at least you feel trapped. Instead, you can tap into the power of belief so you can make better decisions. You understand that the world doesn't care about your feelings. It really doesn't give a hoot about what your emotional state is. Do you know what it pays attention to? It is your actions. Get your belief house in order and you will make better decisions. This means taking better action, which puts your life in a better position. Belief impacts your expectations and assumptions. Start there. What do you assume to be true about you? It is your life, your place in the world, and your capabilities. What do you expect out of life? This is a belief too. The good news here is that just as you can accept certain beliefs, you can drop them like a hot potato. Seriously, belief affects how you roll with the blows, it affects your coping mechanisms. Understand how belief works and understand that belief is a choice. Choose better beliefs and you get better results. It's that simple. Toxic beliefs that doom your efforts. Make no mistake. We choose our own beliefs. There's nobody sitting behind you with a gun pointed to your head telling you to believe certain things. There's nobody threatening to kill you if you don't believe you are worthless, incapable, and not up to the job. Nobody's forcing you to be miserable. I know that that's an uncomfortable thing to hear because we're human beings. We're trapped in a prison of weak flesh and we would love to have somebody or a situation to blame. You choose your beliefs, and these are the foundation of your reality. They are the lenses which you use to filter out reality. That's what you use to read reality. They're not forced on you. You voluntarily assumed them. You always have a say. How to fight back? How do you fight back against your toxic beliefs? It all boils down to being more critical. This doesn't mean that you have to turn into some jerk or asshole, but it means that you have to be more skeptical. Don't think things have face value. Somebody might say something is right or true, but filter that information through your experience. Use your logical reasoning facilities. Unfortunately, many people are lazy because if somebody we know who we love and respect says something or make a truth claim, we are more likely to pick up on what they say and assume that it's true. Why? In the back of our heads, we filtered that person as someone who experienced many things and as someone who has achieved credibility and authority in our mind, so why do the heavy work and be skeptical of what they say? Basically, you transfer the time, effort, and attention to detail that you invested in developing that friend or mentor to their claims. This is a problem because people make mistakes all the time. People say the stupidest things all the time, and if you are mentally lazy and adopt what they say wholesale and absorb it, there will be a problem. Maybe they're saying something that's true to them personally, but it's not some universal truth that applies to all people across the board. The next thing you need to do is to stop assuming. Don't be afraid to look at first principles. If somebody is saying a big claim, don't be afraid to look like a fool and say, "Hold on, what do you mean by this and by that?" When you do that, you stop people in their tracks. You keep them from taking leaps of faith in their argumentation. Mature, very balanced and advanced thinking people would appreciate that because they understand clean logic. They understand a clean progression of argumentation in their mind. However, people who are lazy or insecure would attack you, and that's okay. Be prepared for that, but never fear out of asking to look at first principles, because you will be the victim if you allow them to fool you, because that's what's happening. Do not assume. Don't be afraid to look at the premises behind their conclusion, because there might not be a good logical fit. The bottom line to all of this is that if you adopt the mindset of being more critical and refusing to assume things, you always think you can choose your beliefs, you change your life. You really do. Why? You actively make your beliefs work for you instead of against you. Please understand that beliefs are two-edged swords. Learn how to craft them so they are beneficial to you and people depending on you. Chapter 7, Failure Can Help You Succeed. If you're reading this, chances are you might have met with some form of failure. I know it burns. I know it stings.
I know that if given a chance, you'd rather not deal with it and focus more on enjoying the benefits of success.
Who wouldn't?
That's how most people would respond, but understand that failure is not what you think it is.
Most people believe failure usually holds them back from achieving success.
Successful people think differently. They understand that failure can help them succeed.
They were more motivated by gain than intimidated by fear.
What does this mean?
First, failure means pain.
It is difficult since there's pain there.
It can be physical pain, which is fairly rare but possible, but usually, it is a mental and emotional pain.
There's nothing more painful than thinking you've invested a tremendous amount of time, effort, emotional energy, focus, and willpower on something that didn't pan out.
There's also social pain because people knew you were working on something and then now you have nothing to show for it.
You feel like a fool.
It may not be pointing fingers at you, but it doesn't make the pain go away because we want to impress people we love and respect.
Failure means pain, and instead of running away from that reality, successful people understand that this means one thing and one thing alone.
Since failure can be painful on so many levels, this means they have to work on the project with the urgency it deserves.
This is not playtime.
This is not a joke.
It's not a hobby.
It's not something you do just because you have nothing else better to do.
It's real.
It demands respect and focus.
Successful people acknowledge it will involve the pain.
This is why before they jump in, they get a full understanding of the risks and consequences involved.
They don't shy away from these.
They don't disregard the risk of bankruptcy.
They don't brush the possibility of fiascos under the rug.
They look at them straight in the eye.
They see that monster.
They acknowledge it for what it is, and then they look at what they stand to gain.
Then, there's this calculated risk that comes out of it.
It's the pain that keeps them honest.
It's the prospect of losing that keeps their attention focused.
This is how you make failure work for you instead of wasting all this tremendous amount of time, effort, and emotional energy by running away from it, making excuses for it, ducking it, and so on, and so forth.
You understand that failure means pain, and this triggers you to step your game up.
Use the pain of failure to motivate you.
Get the motivation you need to stay focused long enough to achieve victory.
Victory will not happen tomorrow.
Victory requires putting in the work, focus, and sacrifice day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year.
Successful people know failure is their friend.
Did you know failure is your friend?
You're probably either laughing out loud or cringing.
You probably have this almost irresistible urge to close this chapter.
Well, hear me out.
Most people are afraid of failure.
It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure that out.
This is part of the human condition.
They draw us to pleasure and we recoil from pain.
We would love the big mansions, the swimming pools, the global vacations every 2 months, and the tons of money in the bank, but we hate, or we try to avoid putting in day after day at the office doing seemingly meaningless work.
Try to avoid meeting the very difficult people that can lead to great deals, but it's murder time to deal with them.
We would like to get the reward without going through the painful process.
I understand that since that's part of human nature.
This is why we're afraid of failure, because we know it guarantees nothing.
We can put in the work, the time, the effort, and make all the sacrifices, and at the end of that process, there's nothing there.
You're left holding an empty bag, but you're already failing right now if you're not shooting for your goals and dreams.
You really are failing because every day you spend being paralyzed by failure is a day not spent working towards success.
Fear of failure can paralyze you and make you do things the wrong way.
The worst thing you can do is to put things off and wait for the right time to happen, but that right time never comes.
Stop waiting for tomorrow because tomorrow will never come.
There will be many duties, responsibilities, and obligations that will pop up all over the place that will distract you.
They will throw you off track.
You can bet on that.
Fear of failure can also make you hesitate and doubt yourself.
Doubt is an emotional cancer in certain contexts.
In the spiritual context, it's positive.
In relationship contexts, it can be positive, but for your capabilities, it is a cancer.
It can burn away at you. The worst part is it builds slowly until it explodes at the moment you least expect, and you end up crashing and burning.
Don't doubt your capabilities. Challenge yourself, but don't doubt.
The ultimate truth about you is that you can do it if you put in the time, effort, and sacrifice and choose the right goals. Unfortunately, if you're so deathly afraid of failure, you don't go through the learning process.
You don't go through that. It's painful.
That's why you're avoiding failure, but it will not happen.
You don't even give yourself the chance to make it. Successful people think differently. Successful people don't fear failure. Believe it or not, successful people know failure is always a possibility, but what do? They make it work for them.
They view failure as the price they pay to learn. If you want a good example of this, pay attention to that quote from Thomas Edison. He said, "I didn't fail to invent the light bulb. I discovered 101 ways of not inventing light bulbs."
Do you see the logic in that?
Failure is the price you pay as you learn. You can use it as a stepping stone to the ultimate success, or you can use it as a gravestone to all your hopes, wishes, dreams, and ambitions.
The truth is, successful people view failure as a necessity. Successful people aim to fail quickly. You have probably read the chapter title and did a double take. You're probably thinking to yourself, why in the world would somebody want to fail quickly? Isn't failure something we're supposed to avoid? Isn't it something we're supposed to run away from? Isn't it a mark of embarrassment or even humiliation? Why in the world would successful people of all people aim to fail quickly? You should understand that successful people know failure is always a possibility. They don't candy coat it. They don't deny that it exists. They don't make up excuses for it. They don't dress it up in many fancy rationalizations, excuses, and justifications. They do none of that. Instead, they look it straight in the eye. It's always there. People feel the pain. Maybe it's monetary. Maybe it's social, which means loss of reputation. Whatever the case may be, failure means pain.
They realize, so they look at what they stand to gain. They do a calculated risk-benefit analysis, and if the analysis comes out right and the project is worth taking on, they still keep looking at the possibility of failure to motivate them.
These people know the difference between wanting to fail and getting ready for setbacks. Their mindset shifts to failing quickly.
They want to know if this will not pan out. I want this to flame out quickly so I can pick myself up, dust myself off, and go on to the next opportunity.
Quick failure means quick lessons. It is not a judgment on your character as a human being.
It is not some summation of your value as a person.
It doesn't define you.
Instead, you learn what you need to learn, like Thomas Edison, who once used a hair from a man's beard in his efforts to invent the light bulb. Obviously, that did not pan out, but that didn't stop Edison from trying many times. You need to fail quickly so you can quickly determine that the road you're on is not the right road. You can then shift to go to another road and then try another one.
Quick lessons mean a faster track to eventual success. That's how successful people think.
People who struggle for the rest of their lives experience failure and look at failure as something that defines them.
What did they do? They dwell on it.
Instead of a quick failure that yields important quick lessons, they dwell on the failure, and the lessons they get are worst lessons because it's all about them.
They're not smart enough. People don't like them. They don't have enough money. They can't get money.
They're trapped in their life with all these toxic lessons.
Fail quickly and get the lesson quickly.
This enables you to minimize the cost and the pain. Pain will always be a part of the equation, but it doesn't mean that you have to maximize it.
It doesn't mean that you have to let it burn you and define you as a person. When you do that, you make success more elusive. Chapter 8, Proven Benefits of a Positive Psychology.
The positive psychology movement has endured its fair share of criticism, especially from those who believe in shadow work and the integration of negative emotions.
Yet there is much research on the many benefits of positive psychology. Stronger personal relationships. People who are happier have deeper ties with their family and friends.
Positive psychology also has a number of benefits in the workplace and can help to increase productivity and return on investment, as well as increasing employee satisfaction levels.
Companies such as Google place a massive emphasis on employee happiness.
Benefits the wider environment. Having a positive outlook actually rubs off on others who you come into contact with. In other words, it's contagious. Those who spend time with happy people are more likely to be happier in the future as opposed to spending time with those of a negative orientation.
Happier in general.
People involved in positive psychology are less likely to have depression or mental illness. While having a positive mindset does not stop bad things from happening, it helps to get over them. People stuck in negative thought patterns let negative events haunt them for years.
Healthier.
People who engage in positive psychology practices tend to have lower blood pressure. They have lower stress levels, and people who are optimistic about their circumstances are more likely to recover from illness such as cancer at a faster rate.
Studies have shown a direct link between positive psychology and the immune system.
More successful. While success does make people happier, having a positive psychology is also a factor in attaining success. It is not really possible, or at least much more difficult, to be extremely successful while having a negative outlook on life.
Snowball effect.
Those who engage in positive thinking are more likely to be happier in the future.
Happy thoughts lead to more happy thoughts as the momentum takes off.
Those who fail to correct their behavior will continue to engage in self-destruction patterns.
Confidence and vitality.
People who engage in positive thinking have more self-esteem and are more confident in their day-to-day activities. They also have more energy and exuberance. This makes sense, as they will be more optimistic about the future and they also care more about what they do in the moment. People of a negative mindset are more likely to look at their jobs as a means to an end and see life in general as pointless. Techniques to master your own psychology. Understanding your own psychology is something that can be difficult to do, but is something that is foundational to well-being and happiness. While it is in many ways a lifetime process, there are some well-trodden paths to help you to understand yourself better.
Meditation.
Meditation is the best way to observe what you are thinking and at the same time transform how you think. In meditation, the practitioner gains the ability to separate himself or herself from personal thought processes. When the observer does not identify with these thoughts, they lack energy and dissipate over time. Then the practitioner can focus on positive thoughts as desired and watch them materialize in the outside world. While it takes a long time to attain levels of mastery over personal psychology, meditation alone has many benefits. The act of simply sitting and breathing for 20 minutes a day can do much to alleviate built-up stress levels.
Practice habit formation.
Habits are what makes for a good quality of life. Our experiences are really just a collection of habits, and this includes mental habits of thought. Take a habit and make sure that you stick with it for at least 3 weeks. The verified minimum time it takes to establish a habit. Ultimately, you want to establish a habit of identifying negative thought patterns as they emerge. In this way, you stop their momentum before they become too powerful. A habit can be something as easy as making your bed every morning or something difficult like visualizing your goal for 20 minutes every day. It is best to pick something simple and stick with it initially. You can build on these habits and the results compound over time.
Another habit could be writing a 1,000-word blog post every day for 60 days. Concentration.
While meditation can largely be defined as the art of non-focus, there are also many concentration techniques available that can serve to sharpen the mind.
One practice consists of gazing at the tip of your nose for 5 minutes.
This is a short and intense technique that works well for those with the discipline to stick with it.
This focus can then be carried over to other areas of study. You will be able to apply your focus to different tasks. The skill of concentration is more important than ever before.
Social media and other technological advances really serve to distract us, and the population is largely disassociated with little ability to focus on basic tasks.
Chapter 9: Comprehensive Understanding of Mind.
The mind is something of a vague concept that can be hard to comprehend. Even scientists disagree on the nature of the mind and matter.
But you don't need to understand everything.
You just need to know enough to further yourself and understand how you actually operate, so you can get to where you need to be.
Read and research.
The best way to gain an understanding of the mind and of your personal inner psychology is to read and research.
There are many amazing books that have been written on the art of psychology and persuasion.
But it is also good to read a wide variety of literature, and you might consider reading some Buddhist or Zen material which describes the more esoteric nature of the mind. Additionally, there are some very interesting discoveries that have been made by scientific research about how the mind operates. By reading about the experience of others, you can contrast them with your own thoughts and ideas. There are cultures with distinctly unique philosophies and ideas that are opposite to those in the West.
Contrast is an excellent way to increase understanding and open-mindedness. Meditation. Meditation is the art of observing your own thoughts.
It is the quickest and most widely recognized way to understand your own mind. Even if you are incredibly intelligent and successful, an ability to stand outside yourself is necessary in order for progress.
Otherwise, the same habits and tendencies will simply keep repeating themselves. Outside of meditation, it is a good idea to become very strict about what you pay attention to. Do not consume words and images that are not pleasant to your mind. You will have to deal with them in meditation later. Learn from your emotions.
Much has been said about the power of the mind in terms of generating our reality.
The missing link in what could be arguably described as a left-brain society is the focus on feelings.
Our emotions are a response to whether we are happy or sad with our current environment, in a sophisticated real-time feedback system.
Emotions have been brushed aside as illogical tendencies, which is a drastic mistake.
If you feel bad, it is time to change your thoughts and your situation quickly. Over time, you will gain experience with regard to how intricate the emotional system really is and how it can serve to guide your thoughts.
Increase emotional intelligence.
Emotional intelligence is a little difficult to pin down in many ways, especially with the modern-day emphasis on mental strength. While the two are interrelated, it can help to work on emotional intelligence as its own practice.
Here are some proven ways to increase emotional intelligence.
Social situations. Learning to handle yourself in social settings is the primary means through which emotional intelligence can be increased. Some people find social situations quite painful, but they are often the best way to excel. If you really want to fast-track emotional intelligence, consider public speaking or debating. These are not merely mental practices, but they will require emotional skills to execute successfully.
Express yourself.
The majority of people do not know how to express themselves.
In many ways, society teaches us to keep our emotions repressed, with a politically correct movement that prevents people from stating the truth.
To offset this, learn to express yourself as much as possible. If not in a public setting, you can write or paint in ways that express how you truly feel.
Expression is essential to well-being, and its opposite, repression, will result in an unhappy lifestyle. Undertake charitable acts. While many people are focused on acquiring material possessions, studies have shown that giving away things and taking on volunteer work actually leads to increased meaning and happiness in life.
Seeing how other people live in substandard conditions is an excellent way to increase emotional intelligence. It will increase your empathy and compassion.
Talk directly.
The most direct way to increase your emotional intelligence is to find someone you are close to, such as your partner, and discuss how you feel. This will help you to understand how the other person feels and for you to release pent-up frustrations. Releasing bottled-up energy can assist in personal mastery, as there will be little holding you back. Good listeners are rare to find, but they are invaluable.
Evaluation. Most people live in subjective bubbles.
For example, the authoritarian manager can often have no idea how he or she comes across to others. You can evaluate how you make others feel in order to improve your emotional intelligence. Another way to evaluate your emotional intelligence is through journaling your daily experience and quiet reflection. Always remember that your relationship to yourself will be reflected in your relationship to others.
Conclusion. The mind-body relationship is becoming clearer thanks to the advent of modern science. Likewise, the link between our thoughts and our emotions are also becoming better known.
Research has demonstrated an obvious correlation between good emotions and a strong psychology. The circle. Our thoughts and our emotions both form a circle, reinforcing the other. Negative thoughts will generate emotions of a similar nature, and these emotions will then result in more negative thoughts. This forms a vicious pattern that is most clearly observed in patients suffering from PTSD and other traumas. It is very difficult for these people to break free, and the events keep recurring in their minds. Over time, such patients heal to an extent. The main way to heal is gradually, as these patients can focus their energies on things that they enjoy so that the memories fail to repeat themselves and lose some of their previous force.
Calming therapeutic modalities work over time to gently alleviate these traumas.
However, modern society is anything but therapeutic. On the other hand, healthy emotions are linked with successful and a powerful psychology. People who are happier have more success and better interpersonal relationships. They have better concentration, memory, and social skills. It is far easier to be successful when you have a positive emotional framework as a foundation than to be struggling internally. How to manage the relationship of the mind-body connection? Everybody is in a situation where they need to better manage their thoughts and emotions. It takes some time, but there are proven ways to reinforce the strengths of our thoughts and emotions. These include meditation, mindfulness, deep communication, creative work. Meditation and mindfulness are practices where we simply observe what is happening in our minds. This is very beneficial in a world that is so externally orientated. We can observe how we feel and how these thoughts stimulate certain emotions. Over time, we can catch the negative thoughts before they gain too much momentum and ruin the whole day. Deep communication is another technique where we work with a therapist or practitioner to document and analyze our own patterns for further insights. Creative work is about self-expression. An intense dedication to creative work is an excellent way to remove any negative tendencies. What can happen is that we are so focused on artistic inventions that we are not focusing any of our energies on the things that make us weak. This works far more quickly than meditation and mindfulness if we can find something that we are truly passionate about.